verse 15 to 21, while the next verse is the council of our series in this letter of Paul to the Ephesians. And I'm going to begin by summarizing the message of these verses. 6 points. Firstly, be very careful about your Christian life. Secondly, in these evil days, make sure you understand the will of God. Thirdly, treat your time as a very precious commodity. Fourthly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot labor for God in our own strength. Fifthly, give time for fellowship and thanksgiving. And sixthly, deeply respect one another as you give reverence for Christ. Now, last time you may remember, Paul had been contrasting the light of Christ and the darkness of our sinful world. Now he contrasts wisdom with foolishness. So verse 15 of Ephesians 5 reads, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Be very careful. Everything worthwhile requires care. We're careful about those things that matter to us. If we're fortunate enough to have a job and employment, then we're careful to keep it, careful to succeed in it, careful to try to be promoted if we're able. We're careful about our health. We don't want to be ill. So we're careful, or we should be, as to how we eat. We avoid junk foods. We eat plenty of fruit and vegetables, don't we? We're careful about education. We're careful to try and pass examinations if we're at school or university. We're careful about our families, careful to do the best for them. Careful about our appearance. Careful not to appear a mess. We want to look nice. So we care for our skin and our hair and our clothes. Nothing wrong with these concerns. So we must take care of what our most important possession is, our Christian life. For these other things won't last. Our work will come to an end. A time to retire will come. Health, I'm afraid a time to die will come. Appearance? We probably will not improve in appearance in the long run. But our Christian life, faith, hope, and love, will be that which takes us beyond the grave and lasts forever. So be very, very careful about it. That is what true wisdom is. Verse 15 again, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Why do we need to be especially careful? Well, the next verse tells us, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Our society imposes terrific pressures upon us that would erode Christian standards. The media, peer pressure, etc., are very, very powerful in eroding Christian lives. So it's vital for us to be careful. And so the next verse, verse 17, says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. How do we understand the will of God? How should we behave? What is right and what is wrong? Well, there are two things. There's God's will for all of us, which is the same for all of us, and there is his will for each individual, which is different for each one of us. The first, his will for all of us, is the most important. We know what his will for all of us is, how we should live. We know the Ten Commandments. We know the Sermon on the Mount. We're called to be Christ-like. That's God's will for us. We should read these passages in the Bible and reread them. But then we will know God's will for all our lives. But then there is his particular will for you and for me. Obvious examples for a younger person. What career should I follow? should I be married? And if I should, to whom? These decisions require careful thought, prayer, and the receiving of advice. And whatever you and I choose should be in harmony with a life based on the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. Another way we must be careful is in verse 16 again, making the most of every opportunity. Literally, make the most of the time you have. Time is very valuable, isn't it? People would think us mad if we threw away £10 notes. But how often do we throw away time? Paul's words literally mean buy back the time that you've wasted. Redeem the time. If we merely drift through life, succumbing to all its pressures, fads and fashions, and our own baser instincts, then our time on earth will be wasted or lost. Malcolm Muggeridge, that great wit and cynic, who edited Punch for a long time and a great journalist as well, I'm not criticizing him for those activities, but when he accepted Christ in his later life, he wrote his autobiography of what had happened in his life up to that time he accepted Christ. And he called it Chronicles of Wasted Time. But the latter part of his life he gave to Christian witness with all his energy until he died. And so he redeemed the time that was lost. I'm in favor of labor-saving devices, are you? I like automatic washing machines and dishwashers because they save time. Time that can be used for worthwhile learning and helping others and witnessing for Christ. Not that we should be workaholics. There's a command for us to rest. Rest for land, rest for animals, rest for people. It's all commanded in the Bible, and God himself rests, we're told. Relaxing and recreation is not necessarily time-wasting. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Television provides a great service for housebound and lonely people, but it can be a terrible time-waster as well, can't it? Do you really feel relaxed and refreshed after watching a crime thriller full of brutality and hatred? We're not the same, of course. We need different amounts of sleep. Some people can survive very well on 4 hours of sleep. Others need 10 hours or more. Someone put a lost notice in the newspaper. It said lost yesterday, sometime between sunrise and sunset. 2 golden hours. Each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward. It's gone forever. A man who faced execution and a firing squad waited for the few minutes for the shots to be fired, and then he was let off. It was a frightening time for him, but he said afterwards that he would never waste a minute again in his life. Paul's words literally mean make most of every time or opportunity. Opportunity to help, to care, to bear witness for Christ, and to learn. It's sad when we waste our opportunities. I'm sure we've all done that from time to time. We should use our lives to the full. And in order to do that, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who makes our lives whole. So he gives us another example of folly and wisdom in verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Debauchery, the word debauchery can also be rightly translated wastefulness. Drink is the waster of many lives, isn't it? Here in our own country, it's a sign of manliness to drink a lot. Many men drink a lot simply to prove to their pals that they're really men. In fact, as we all know, excessive drink turns a man into a dependent, feeble, and miserable person. Excessive drink spoils our personality, steals from us what is good and worthwhile, steals our manhood or our womanhood. Paul says that instead of being under the influence of drink, we should be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Excessive drink destroys us. The Holy Spirit restores our humanity. We mustn't think of the Holy Spirit as a spiritual drug to give us a spiritual kick and make us feel excited. On the contrary, the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us more like Christ, so that we be more whole human beings with a real and deep humanity. Paul's words literally mean, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God flow in your life. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit flowing with us here in St. David's. You know, I cannot bring the Holy Spirit to our congregation. All I can do is pray and do my best at preaching and teaching and the pastoral work and the other things I have to do. But if you do not earnestly pray for our parish and church, we will never have any effect on the vast number of souls outside our doors. Paul gives us three benefits of being filled with the Spirit. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. We need fellowship, speaking to one another, and singing to one another. This church is not a one-man band or a two-man band. Others, too, can participate in worship. That's what Paul says we must do. A few months ago, I invited people to come and read their favorite reading and give us a minute, talk for a minute about why that's their favorite reading. I was just taking a risk when I did that, you know. I was a bit nervous, but it worked well, and the invitation is still open. We have our midweek Bible fellowship. We have our house groups where we minister to one another. Paul mentions music and singing. He says, sing to one another, and he mentions three types of singing. Psalms, we had a psalm, didn't we, today? Hymns. We've had two hymns and spiritual songs. That's like the chorus we sang with the children. Perhaps you only like psalms. Or maybe you only like the new spiritual songs. Or maybe you only like the hymns. That's fine. But remember, there are other tastes as well. And Paul mentions all three that we must use. Verse 20 says, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is the opposite of grumbling and complaining, isn't it? It was the besetting sin of ancient Israel, their murmuring and their complaining, and God became weary of it. Two most discouraging things in my ministry, and there are many encouraging things, but two most discouraging things are these. People giving a low priority to worship and the Word of God and the Lord's Day. In other words, they don't care about their Christian lives. And secondly, people complaining and murmuring against one another. In my experience, most office bearers and people working for our fellowship do their best. All of us have our faults, but we do our best to overcome them. Instead of murmuring, let us give thanks to God, even in difficult circumstances. Be thankful. Ephesians 5, verse 21, the next verse says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In the Holy Spirit, we see something of Christ in other Christian people. That is because Christ has identified himself with us. Our fellow human being is loved by God, and Christ died for him or her. Therefore, we must reverence one another. So that is Paul's message for us in the letter to the Ephesians for today. We sum it up by saying, firstly, be careful about your Christian life. Secondly, in these evil days, make sure you understand the will of God. Thirdly, treat your time as a very precious commodity. Fourthly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot labor for God in our own strength. Fifthly, give time for fellowship and thanksgiving. And lastly, deeply respect one another as you give reverence for Christ. Let us pray. We bless you, Lord, for your great love and reverence for us, in that you came among us and Christ died for us in great meekness upon the cross. So teach us then so to reverence him, our Saviour, that we love one another as he has loved us. In his name we pray. Amen.